Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 27th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 74 in the chapter Into Action. We're going to take apart paragraph one today, the single paragraph, and it begins with, if we cannot or would rather not do this, and ends with always considerate of others. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Stephanie L., the 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today in support is Liz T., Dana P., Leslie M. We have Lois P. greeting today, and Robin P. giving announcements today. The share ID numbers for this meeting yesterday, Monday, July 26, 2021, is 17426, 17,426. And this morning we had a meeting already at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and that share ID number is 17431, 17,431, and that would be for Tuesday, July 27, 2021. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Stephanie L. Stephanie L. is from California. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. In Colorado, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. from Colorado. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this would be the star 1 key function only, please. It's the most effective. So check your phone each time after you've spoken. You'll hear a voice telling you whether you're muted or not. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 74 in the chapter Into Action. We're on paragraph 1 today. If we cannot or would not rather, and ends with always considerate of others. And I would like to ask Liz T. to open us up this morning by reading that paragraph for us and commenting her experience, and then we'll open it up to the general audience. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Thanks, everyone, for your service. My name is Liz T., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Minnesota. If we cannot or would not, or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed-mouthed, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or our parents, which will hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. So reading this paragraph this morning, it just takes me back to the first time I did a fifth step. And I've been in OA for 7 years. I came in through a food addiction recovery retreat, and I learned about the first three steps at that particular place, and learned how to what abstinence eating looked like, and be part of the fellowship, and learned that I wasn't alone. And then I went back to that same retreat center 2 months later and did my first fifth step. Looking back, I did the best I could with what I had, but I was still struggling with abstinence at that time. I thought abstinence was still having, you know, a bowl of something in the evening before bed, you know, my little bedtime nightcap. I didn't understand that that was compulsive. That's how deep in my disease was, that eating after my committed food plan was indeed a compulsive behavior. That's how basic I had to begin, you know. I just didn't even know my own alcoholic life was my normal life, like what the doctor's opinion talks about. I didn't know how I was going to survive without that evening, quote unquote snack, but it was almost more like another meal. You know, I was just, nothing was enough. I was constantly hungry, no matter what emotion I was feeling, happy, sad, things were going good, things were going bad. I was just eating around the clock, like, I don't know, a grazer. I was a grazer. So when I think back of my first fifth step experience, I was trying to be abstinent. I'll give myself that much credit. I was learning about the program. I had a sponsor. But when I gave my fifth step away the first time, I was not entirely abstinent. So big surprise, I did not recover on my first try through the steps. I'm in the program 7 years, and I'm now will be coming up on a year of entire continuous abstinence and a little under a year, maybe like 10 months of being recovered. So I'm one of those that didn't come in and get it right away and struggled a lot and had a hard time giving up my self-will. So since then, I've done several fifth steps and been a relapse survivor. And each time, you know, and I'm looking for someone to give it away, I'm fortunate because it's right there with my sponsor. I don't have to search high and low for someone to hear my fifth step. It's God has provided it for me. And I just, reflecting on this paragraph, just feel so blessed and fortunate that in the program today, our first 100 fellows, you know, they had to find somebody to share this with. And we've got so many fellows right in our fingertips. There's really no excuse not to recover nowadays. We've got so many resources. And I'm just really grateful for that today. With that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Liz T. from Minnesota. Okay, so the lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 74 in the chapter Into Action in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state if you'd like to be identified, we can run a line up here for those that want to comment on that. And although we value everyone's experience here, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So I'm ready to take a lineup.
Lynn D., San Diego.
Lynn D.
Marie S.
Did you say Marie S.?
Marie S.
Thank you.
Robin P.
Robin P. Well, let's go with that. Time's a ticking. Precious time going on here. So going to have Lynn D., Marie S., and Robin P., and we'll come back. We'll circle back around. Hi, Lynn. You're up first for 3 minutes. Everyone else, press star one, please.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California, and recovered compulsive overeater. And I, too, identify with... you know, I've been so grateful to have mostly my sponsor take my fifth steps as well. I've been in program since I was 19 and I'm now 40, and I've done lots of fifth steps. Also grateful to be part of a committed step study that kind of, you know, we do the fifth step, you know, every 18 months or so. So I'm just constantly in the steps. And, you know, I was like, why am I doing this every, you know, year and a half? And then one of our members, you know, there's just always stuff that comes up. You know, we don't get to just brush it over. You know, we don't just get to stuff it down. And so constantly dealing with it every once in a while, you know, keeps our side of the street clean. And, you know, that's what I'm here for. My very first fifth step, I was doing it with my sponsor. And the night before, I, for whatever reason, we were waking up early to go to the beach. So I just put my OA book in my car. And turns out that night, God had another plan. And somebody had broken into my car and stole everything in my car, including my OA tote bag with my fifth step in it and all my writings and readings, and I just felt so mortified. And I called my sponsor that morning and I said, you know, everything got stolen. I don't know what to do. And he said, why don't you just come to the beach anyways and let's talk? And I said, okay. Turns out we had a wonderful fifth step. Not, you know, nothing that I had planned, of course, but God had another plan. And it was such a beautiful release anyways. And, you know, it's never one and done. So I get to constantly keep on working at it. And there was also another time where I was traveling, and it was right around the time where we were doing fourth and fifth step. And I just heard somebody at the meeting, and I went up to them after the meeting and said, would you be willing to go to Central Park with me and have me read through my fifth step? And that was such a wonderful experience, and another you know, layer of the onion that came undone. And I just saw it as an opportunity and took that. So
that'll be time.
Thank you. Yeah, so if I just really stay out of the way and let higher power kind of talk through me and talk through people, I have miraculous experiences and programs. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lindy. And Lindy is from California. Next up is Marie S. from New York. Your 3 minutes starts now. And after her will be Robin. You want to press star one, please, Marie.
Good morning. My name is Marie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm from New York City, but staying in Portland, Oregon with my son right now for a few weeks. Grateful to have this meeting at 7 a.m. here in Portland. I have had very sporadic experiences with my fifth step. And I love this. Because I've tried to give it many, many years ago. I tried to give it to a member of my family, and just like this paragraph recommends, it did not work out very well. And I'm in the process of finding someone to give my fifth step to. And I realize that at this point in my disease, although I've been abstinent for 7 months, and I've not done I had a great sponsor, and after the fourth step, she went out, and so I'm left with the fifth step, and I've been praying, and I've been praying to my higher power to bring me a sponsor. And so far, it's not worked out. For whatever reason, it's not worked out. And I'm a little bit, I'm down about it, because I want to get back to the fifth step and finishing up all of my steps. But I feel lost. I kind of don't know how. I know the steps I have to take, and I want to control. I want to interview people. I want to talk to people. I feel like I'm interviewing candidates for a job, and it's awful. It feels terrible, and it feels awful. And so I just wanted to put that out there today, because the Big Book is really a textbook. I need to follow these steps and just do it, and give up control, surrender, and let my higher power, let God carry me through this. I thank my God for bringing me through this far, and I'm sure I'm going to get to a place where I can take the next step. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Marie S. From New York, who's in Portland. Next up is Robin P., and then in 3 short minutes after Robin P. from Costa Rica shares, we're going to open up the lines again for additional folks to comment on paragraph 1, page 74 in your Big Book. Hi, Robin. It's your turn.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks so much, Mel. Thank you. It's so great to hear your voice. Thanks so much for your service. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I just, you know, I've done this step several times, and I've, you know, sponsored other people. And it's always a privilege at either end. It's such a blessing to be able to just literally release all that stuff. It feels like drop the rock, you know, and let it go and walk away a free man, you know, woman. And I always really appreciate the kindness and the open-heartedness and the gentleness. And it's such generosity for somebody to sit there and listen to this, you know. And I also always benefit from being the sponsor during that. And I always get a takeaway. And it's such a relief. And I know that some people do it with ministers or something. I've always done it with sponsors. And it feels like it solidifies the relationship, and it makes the relationship stronger and just builds more trust, because it's such, you know, personal things. I came from a lot of child abuse, and it's very personal and things that I wouldn't share with most people. And and to know that it's safe information and that I don't have to carry it alone, you know, ever again, and I don't have to carry it. And I'm so grateful for the steps that in the order that they're in. It's so divinely meant, that it's such a purposeful order. And by the time I've turned my will and my life over to the care of God, that's when I get to do the inventory, you know, trust God, clean house, help others. It's perfect. And I just get to do it the way it was intended, and it always works. And I'm a free woman today. And I'm so grateful and blessed. And I'm very, very grateful for a vision for you. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. And thanks so much for letting me share. I pass. Mel, we can't hear you. Are you there?
Melanie, we can't hear you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you checking on me like that. Thank you. So it is open now for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 74, some very important considerations for us to make in this endeavor that we're about to embark on to free ourselves. So if you haven't shared within the last 3 days and you'd like to share today, we'd love to hear from you. First name, first initial, last name, and your state if you'd like to. I'm ready to take a lineup.
Stephanie M., California.
Stephanie M. M or N?
M, like Mary.
Thank you. Jordan L. Hey, Jordan. In Colorado. Gotcha. Anyone else? Star one, please.
Dion R.
Dion R. Hi, good morning. Okay, let's go with that lineup here, and we'll get some more. Stephanie from California, Jordan from Colorado, and Dion R. In that order. Hi, Stephanie. You have 3 minutes. You want to press star one.
Hi, Stephanie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. I'm so surprised by the reluctance to share today on this paragraph, but it definitely spoke to me. This never occurred to me, but before I even knew about OA, or definitely before I had the willingness to do this work, I wanted to live. Like, I didn't want to die. And that's what I was doing, was killing myself with food and overexercise. And I think how that showed up is that I would mention offhand, like, comments about my food to my therapist. And it's like, I didn't want to tell her, I didn't want to get her involved, but I just needed someone to know. And I think, like, there's something so human about a fifth step of, like, not wanting to be alone, not wanting to do this alone, not wanting to die alone, and knowing that, like, maybe by telling someone else, I'll get the help I need. And sure enough, my, like, three times I happened to say, oh, I had a really big food day yesterday, or something like so benign, told her enough to have her tell me or mention, have you heard of OA? And I, of course, laughed in her face. I thought it was ridiculous. I certainly didn't need a program like that. I wasn't even overweight, but she'd planted a seed. And then 5 years later, I looked up OA and I found it, and I immediately got a sponsor and worked the steps. And the fifth step is just, I remember the first time I did it, I felt very exposed and vulnerable and not in a good way, but also like, okay, I don't have to carry that around anymore. And every time I've done a fifth step, I've gotten deeper. And someone already mentioned the peeling of the onion. And I will say it never occurred to me to go to my family, because in my mind I was a victim and they were all awful and they had, you know, of course this was my mom's fault. And I love this last sentence, the rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. The more times I work the steps, the more I realize it has nothing to do with my family. It is all, you know, my ego and self-will and self-knowledge and all the reasons that I stayed in this disease as long as I did. It has nothing to do with anyone else. And what a gift to be able to do this work and get to see that, because if it's someone else's fault, I can't fix it. You know, if someone else is in charge of me, I can't fix it. But if it's my problem and I have, you know, and I have a higher power, like, wow, there's a solution. Every time I read this book, it's just, there's just so much, what a gift. So I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie M. from California. Jordan L. from Colorado, you're up for three, and then Dion will follow you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating for us this morning, Mel. My name's Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. We've been talking a lot about the fifth step experience from the sponsee's point of view, which is awesome. You know, like it's the first time that I come out of isolation and kind of join the human race again, you know. It's the first like tangible demonstration of some humility, which was like, you know, a pretty foreign concept to me when I got here. I had been humiliated a lot in my life, so it was a foreign concept to have humility be about connection with another human being, you know. Humiliation had always made me feel so disconnected from others. So this was really about plugging in connection with another compulsive overeater. Since then, I've had the privilege of listening to some fifth steps as well. I think I'm about even now. I think I have said or stated as many fifth steps as I've listened to, and gotten a chance to be that closed mouth, understanding friend. And that's definitely, like, I couldn't say that about myself prior to the 12 steps, for sure. And it is, you know, like it is, I can say that about myself today, that I'm that person, you know? So this really, like, it really propels me into some real meaningful connection with other people. And the rule is we must be hard on ourselves and always considerate of others. I'm not crazy about the wording there, just because I have always found 12-step work to be something that's actually quite gentle and the opposite of what I found prior to program. You know, when I told the truth prior to program, a lot of times what I was met with was judgment or
time.
I'll wrap up problem solving or someone else trying to like fix it or me trying to fix it. And that was always like push, 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 you know, and do more in program. This is about surrender, you know? It's about like, let it be. and be present and with it, you know? And it's very gentle. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. Jordan L. from Colorado. Next up for 3 minutes is Dion R. from Ohio. And after Dion, we're going to open up the lines again for additional comments, just to let you know so you can crack open your book. We're on page 74 into action, and we are unpacking paragraph one today. We're considering quite a little bit there for this fifth step experience. But in the meantime, let's listen to Dion R. Hello there.
Hey, good morning, Melly. I don't know if you heard me before. I put on mute before, but good morning, and I'm glad to hear from you. Excuse me, to be a part of the process and on the line today and to hear from everyone that shared. This meeting, so hurry up. So with all that said, I just want to say, only thing I want to bring in, excuse me, my voice don't fade out. Only thing I want to add to the what I heard is the rule of being harder on myself, but always considerate of others. And even the part that where it says you can disclose it to a family member. It says wife or parent, but also a family member. But I had to realize that if I did, I kept saying, well, it's a family member, I'm not talking about you. But it was still hurting that person to hear, you know, my venting. That's all it was back then, just venting about what I felt another family member. And I thought I was doing it all in the name of, a fifth step that I didn't want to share with my sponsor. And so being able to get honest and realize that was a jug. That was not, that wasn't a clear fourth or fifth step. So knowing when and how, I love it when they say, you need to talk to a doctor or psychologist. I remember talking to a therapist once about certain things, because certain times I have to talk to certain people about different things that bother me, if nothing else, for understanding, you know, that you get me, or that you won't feel, I won't even think you feel being understanding or I'm being misunderstood. And the opposite end is receiving from others. I can listen and been learning to listen with an open mind, but I have had a few times when it was too deep or too close to something that would cause me to be non-objective that I have referred them to others because of something that I was dealing with. And I didn't feel comfortable commenting on it. And I heard someone else share that this morning. And it's just amazing how the only step we have to do 100%, you know, is step one. And the other one, I get a lot of ideas as I grow on this journey, you know, because I'm not giving up. The main thing is, like they said, be hard on myself and not the other person when it comes to telling the truth and getting that stuff that was going to take me to my grave. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the process. And good to hear from you again, Melanie.
Yeah, good to hear you too this morning. Thank you so much, Dion. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph one, page 74. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, and make sure that you haven't shared within the last 3 days. I'd love to take your name.
Barbara W.
Terry W., Massachusetts.
Terry W., is that what I heard too?
Yes, thank you.
Annabelle Z. Annabelle Z. Okay, gotcha. We're taking y'all in threes today. So, excellent. Let's go with Barbara W. from Washington, Terry W. from Mass, and then Annabelle Z. We'll catch where you're from in just a moment. Hi, Barbara. You have 3 minutes now.
Barbara W. Good here, Washington State. Oh, thank you for your service, Melanie. What I have vivid memories of, and they go a long way back. I'm 75, and my first one was probably in my early 30s, and And being a little on the naive side, I chose to do it to the only family member I had at the time, besides a small son, was my then husband. And, oh boy, how many times I have looked back and what a big mistake that was. Because I revealed to him something that had been bothering me, and I'm just saying, okay, and I say, blah, blah, blah. Didn't even think anything of it, but then looking back over the years, I go, I put my hand on my forehead, oh my God. Well, I never did that again. And the memory I have of the ones long ago were ones of my sponsors I had at the time. And at first they were the ones where I did a fourth step, and then I talked to them and told them my fifth step. Well, and later, in these later years, when I've done a fifth step, it has been, I would do the fourth and fifth step together with my sponsor, and I just found that very effective. And the sponsor, would support me in what I was saying, and or say, was that, how important was that to you, and how were you feeling? And I could relate to that because my sponsor is someone I, really trusted and felt that I could share with her anything. And lately, there's been a lot going on. My ex-husband, the father of my children, died about a month ago. And that brought up a whole bunch of stuff. And it just dawns on me that it's time to do another fourth step. And I call it the mini fourth step because the thorough ones have been done. And now when I'm talking to everyone, it makes me realize that I keep talking about it, but I'm not doing it, what I call processing my feelings through another trusted friend. And I love the sponsor I have now. She's extremely patient, and she listens, and she's just a gentle soul.
Time.
That's what I like to call her, a gentle soul. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara W. from Washington. Terry W. from Massachusetts, you're up next, please, for 3 minutes, followed by Annabelle. Terry W., a quick star one, please.
Hi, this is Terry W. from Massachusetts, recovered anorexic and bulimic, and thank you, Melanie, for your service. This paragraph really means a lot to me when I closely look at it. It's talking about choosing the person that we want to do our fifth step with. And it's interesting because the page right before this talks about, we would talk to our psychologists, and we never tell them the truth, and we never took their advice. So when I think about who I give my fifth step to, it's pretty critical that I feel someone, in my view, has to understand what I'm talking about. For an example, if I am choosing someone to give my fifth step to and I tell them that I ate $130 worth of food and then I sprayed Windex on the remainder of it and put it in the garbage, then went back into the garbage and then ate it again with the Windex on it, or Clorox on it. No, if someone didn't understand what I was talking about, I feel I wouldn't be free. I would just feel like I'm just talking to a wall. So when we talk about, someone who must be understanding and unaffected, for me personally, I felt that I had to do my fifth step with someone that knew what I was talking about in food-related issues. Because otherwise, I wouldn't feel free from all those secrets that I told. And, so because I did it with my sponsor, I felt extremely free, and I found that to be an incredible experience. So I just wanted to bring up the fact that I feel it really is important who we choose you know, if I told someone in my family, they wouldn't even know what I was talking about, so it wouldn't feel the same. But that's just my personal opinion, and I just wanted to share that. I thought that was important. So thank you, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you, Terry W. from Massachusetts. Appreciate that. Annabelle Z., you're up next.
Hi, good morning. This is Annabelle Z. from Washington State. Thank you for your service and for everyone who shared on the line. I just wanted to add in focusing on that one line that says, yet be unaffected. So someone who understands, yet be unaffected. And, you know, talk about sharing with parents or, you know, someone. That's really for me to just get it off my chest. But, boy, does it affect other people. And I have to be careful when I'm doing, you know, anytime I'm doing a mini fourth step, you know, anytime I'm doing, you know, it talks about that in the 10th step, we promptly admit it except when to do so would injure them or others. And so the twist on this of yet be unaffected is I just want to encourage anyone who is, you know, in the middle of doing or at the end of a fourth step or not wanting to do a fourth step because they're afraid of doing a fifth step, by all means, just know that anyone who's done the steps is not going to be affected by this because either we've done it, all the same thing you've done. I mean, like every sponsor I've talked to, I just feel this relief because they're like, yeah, did that. And then they'd share what they did that was like worse than what I did. And it's part of, it will eventually, when I listen to fifth steps, which I have many, many times, I feel this sense of fellowship and this sense of I'm doing someone a service, but I'm also being reminded of where I came from and what it was like. And it fills me with the hope again that, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. There's just nothing like being of service to someone and working with someone else and really being compassionate and empathizing and being a listening ear. So I remember that whenever I'm doing like a 10th step and of course, if I'm doing a full fifth step, that this person is listening to me because it helps them. You know, 30 years in the program, I still forget that. And I'm like, oh, I'm wasting their time. And oh my gosh, this is taking so much of their time. And, you know, I'm rattling on and they don't care. And it's not about that. Doing a fifth step is also about helping the other person with their program. I'm going to be free of my garbage. I don't have to carry that around anymore. That's very true. It's a mutual thing. It's a beautiful spiritual thing. So just wanted to add that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Annabelle Z. from Washington. Looks like the time will allow for at least two additional shares at about 2.5 minutes apiece. If you're interested in commenting your experience on paragraph 1, page 74, I'd like to take your name and the first initial of your last name.
Larry G., California.
In Pennsylvania.
California. Somebody from Pennsylvania.
Beth V., as in
Gotcha. Okay, great, thanks. Hey, Larry G., you're up for 2.5, and it starts now.
Hey, Melanie, thanks for your service. Larry G. from California. I don't know why Bill wrote this the way he did, offering a fifth step to like a family member or a friend. I'm assuming he did that because we addicts don't like to be told what to do, and maybe he was creating some spaciousness here. But I can't imagine going to one of my friends or a family member and talking about eating food out of the garbage can or pulling food out of the garbage disposal or some of the things, the bizarre behaviors. I could just imagine the horrified look on their face as I'm telling them these things. Now, we're going to do what we're going to do. And I've been around a long time. If it was me, I would go to a sponsor in the program that I'm working in. If I'm Catholic, I'm not going to go to a Jewish church and practice Catholicism and vice versa. So if I'm a 12-step member, I'm going to go to another 12-step member, one that I have developed a relationship with, and I get a chance to see how that relationship goes in the first four steps, right? Also, I've learned over the years, you know, I've been around for, I'll be 40 years sober in August. So that's worth something. You know, that experience is worth something. I'm not going to talk about therapy type of on a visions call. This is not about processing my feelings. I did that for 26 years in other fellowships, food fellowships, and what it did is it got me drunk. But today, I will process the fourth step in the spirit of the big book as it's outlined in the big book. And I will take my therapy issues, because we're lay people. I'm not going to go to my sponsor and talk about my relationship with my wife. I'm going to do that with a therapist and probably with my wife present, because my perspective is often wrong. And so I believe things that are in the therapeutic realm, I take to my therapist. Things in the 12-step realm, I take to my sponsor. But if you are convinced that you want to do this with a family member or a friend, my suggestion is to, man, find someone in the program to really work through this, because I can't see any good coming out of that for me. Maybe for you, but not for me. Anyway, I love the visions for you. This has absolutely transformed my life. And if you're new or you're on the sidelines, find somebody to start going through this step, because it's powerful. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thanks, Larry G. from California. Next up, and the last person to share today, will be Beth V. like Victor from Pennsylvania. Hi, Beth.
Hi there. My name is Beth V. as in Victor from Pennsylvania. I'm greatly recovered. And I recently did a step five, and it's all very fresh in my mind. I really like what I heard on this reading earlier about this is the first tangible demonstration of humility. And I wrote next to that, yep, that's right. And that's what it felt like. My secrets are coming out, if I'm honest. And my problems are about to be exposed, examined, and made amends for. As I move forward in the steps, I'm in that process now of facing myself, another human being, and my higher power. So I'm going to have a chance, and someone else is going to see, expose, and examine with me my part in the resentments, fears, and harms that I have had and I have hung on to. And I have a chance to accept my mistakes, my human behaviors and shortcomings. And I also have, the first thing I found when I did this step was that the surreal sense of thinking, yes, I really did these things. I really did things that hurt other people. Because sometimes when it's buried deep inside, it's easy to deny it happened or to rationalize and minimize that it was that big of a deal. But when I told my beautiful, kind, gracious sponsor, she was very neutral, but also firm in helping me to keep my eyes open, my mind open, and my heart open to keep on being humble in this step. And allowing the truth to come out. And with that, I shall pass. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to all of you.
Thank you, Beth B. from Pennsylvania. Thank you to everyone that shared today. The passages were just phenomenal. And thank you very much for those loyal volunteers here that makes this meeting possible. It's kept these doors open for you all to come in and study for 9 years, and especially this month of July. Thank you very, very much for that. We're going to transition now to the last 10 minutes of our meeting by closing this particular meeting out, and I'd like to lean on Dana P., please, to start that closure by reading page 164 of our big book, and then we'll move right into the Serenity Prayer together as we continue for 10. Thanks, Dana. Good morning.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Dana P., I'm here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.